Hey there, nursing community. Welcome back to another episode from Two Male Nurses. And today we're going to be bringing a very relevant topic to you guys.
It's high yield
concepts that will really be able to help you in the
Wait,
ICU.
Hold on. Sorry, Andrew, I got a joke for you.
Okay.
What is a pirate's favorite disease process?
ARDS! That's a good one, man. All right, and we're back. Thank you for joining us today on Two Male Nurses, where we are going to be discussing, you guessed it, ARDS.
We're talking acute respiratory distress syndrome.
Yeah, very, very deadly process that we've seen a lot over this past year. And we're going to get into it, but essentially this disease process is what happens when you get COVID.
It is, And it's there's, again, so many different little parts of it. We're going to try to take the highlights, take the main things. You like really got to know this.
The nuts and bolts.
We're talking the meat and taters. And we're going to try to lay it out for you guys so it just kind of makes sense. So,
right, yeah.
Okay, tell them, Andrew.
Yeah, so we're starting off basically a good definition of what ARDS is an acute condition that triggers an inflammatory response in the lungs that results in increased permeability of the pulmonary capillaries. Okay, when this happens, that membrane will then allow fluid into the alveolar spaces.
Nice.
And then you're done.
You're done.
All kinds of stuff that follows that is, you know, we were talking about, you know, different types of, you know, damage to certain, you know, different cells in your lungs, you know, refractory, hypoxemia, all this stuff. It becomes very, very difficult to oxygenate this patient. Not necessarily like ventilating it. We can ventilate them. I
mean, we can pump them full air.
But for whatever reason, we cannot oxygenate them.
And by definition, they call it a refractory hypoxemia.
Right.
I'm going to call her out, Taylor Campbell. She hates the word refractory so much and like rolls her eyes every time I say it. But it by definition, it means something that's not responsive to whatever treatment you're giving it. So refractory hypertension is just that. It's like high blood pressure. They're on nitro and they still have high blood pressure.
Right. Refractory.
So it tells you something. It tells you like, why is this nitro not working? Same thing with ARDS, refractory hypoxemia. Mm-hmm. Why we're giving them oxygen. They're on 100% oxygen. We're pounding them full of oxygen. Why are they still hypoxemic?
Right.
It's that refractory hypoxemia, definition of ARDS.
Absolutely. So with ARDS, there could be a couple different things that lead to the development of ARDS. As we already mentioned, COVID, you know, as a virus, when it goes into and gets into the lungs and everything, it causes an inflammatory response.
Yeah.
And, you know, any kind of aspiration or pneumonia, anything going on in the lungs that is any kind of inflammatory process can develop into this, you know, an acute condition of not being able to oxygenate properly.
Right. So there's direct ARDS and indirect ARDS, or direct injury and indirect injury, basically.
Right. So then another one that's interesting is an indirect injury or an indirect cause of ARDS would be something like sepsis.
Oh, yeah. Okay, cool.
You know, number one killer of ICU patients.
You know,
people develop it. They get this exaggerated inflammatory response. Oh, an inflammatory response that's widespread through the body. It's not going to bypass the lungs. It's going to go there and cause that increase, pulmonary capillary permeability. You flood their lungs. You can't oxygenate them anymore.
Totally.
And there's all kinds of different, you know, trauma, burns, pancreatitis, DIC, all kinds of different stuff that can lead to an indirect cause of ARDS.
Nice. Well. And one of the research spots we did, we actually I watched a video from Ninja Nerd on YouTube. He's hilarious. But he like really breaks stuff down really well. So definitely shout out to him, but his one of his explanations for COVID, he talked about how the virus attacks a type of pneumocyte in your lungs, which was so fascinating to me. Just a quick breakdown. You got type 1, type 2 pneumocytes in your lungs. Type 1, and this is really important to know potentially you're studying for a certification, if you're trying to do your CCRN.
Trying to get your letters.
You're trying to get the letters. So you got your type 1, type 2. Type 1 pneumocyte cells specifically are for oxygenation. Mm-hmm. They help with that oxygenation process. Where the type 2 pneumocells are a little bigger. They're a little frothier. If you look at them, you look at them under the microscope. They're frothier. and they are all about surfactant production. So again, something you want to know for your test, surfactant production decreases surface tension.
Right.
So the tension on those little alveoli, the tension is decreased when they have surfactant. Well, COVID attacks those type 2 cells, you have an increase in surface tension. And so all of a sudden you have an increase in tension. What happens if you have like a basketball and you're squeezing the outside of it? You have an increase in surface tension. What does the basketball do?
It will collapse.
The basketball will
pop.
It'll collapse. No, but yeah.
What's happening?
It'll collapse, basically. Well, that's ours. It's a collapsed alveoli.
Yes.
Now you can't oxygenate it, and now you have refractory hypoxemia.
Absolutely. I mean,
come on, bro. That is cool.
Ninja nerd.
That is cool, man.
Yeah, super cool. So when you think of surfactant, you know, they always say it stabilizes the alveoli. You know, it helps keep them open. And with an open alveoli, we can have good oxygen exchange. Our PaO2 will be fine. But in this time where they're collapsed or they're full of fluid and all that kind of stuff, you're not going to get any kind of oxygen exchange.
Totally, totally.
So yeah, with surfactant that's being produced by those type 2 alveolar cells, we're also preventing, if we have it, sorry, we're preventing massive atelectasis. But when we don't have it, that's when we have just all that fluid flooding into there and no way to oxygenate appropriately. So we can think of it in this way, that with ARDS, when we have destruction of type 2 alveolar cells, we're going to have that massive atelectasis, decreased compliance or stretchiness of the lungs, and we don't have a stretchy lung, you can't, you know, ventilate and oxygen very well, an increased work of breathing, and a decreased functional residual capacity as well. And so all of those in combination will make it so you have that much more of a difficult time to oxygenate properly.
Makes sense.
And that's what
makes
it comes
sense.
Down
yeah,
to.
Yeah, that really is just really that refractory hypoxemia, no oxygenation. And it by definition, it's called a shunt. And if you think, yeah, I mean,
shunts.
And that's another thing,
everyone loves talking about a good shunt.
What
do you mean? I don't know.
They said he has a shunt. Don't ask so many questions, you know? So I'm trying to sound smart here, but there's those two definitions. You'll see them on the test. You got shunts and you got dead space.
Right.
So a dead space is basically an area where air is just not even passing by.
Right, or blood's not even passing by to be
exactly
oxygenated. Like a PE or something.
Like a PE. Yep. Yeah. Pulmonary embolus is the textbook for dead space. For a shunt, the blood's there. The blood is passing by and the air's there. Everything's there, but the alveoli or the basketball is so collapsed that the blood, it's passing right by underneath it. And if you think about a picture, if you think about like a basketball, you can think about like a basketball hanging from the ceiling, and it's like maybe sitting on your kitchen table. Okay, so there's your picture. It's a basketball hanging like a chandelier, and it's brushing against your kitchen table. The kitchen table's the blood. And every time it brushes by your kitchen table and it touches your kitchen table, there's a little bit of oxygenation and diffusion, and everything's passing into the blood, and the blood's putting out the CO2, and there's like a little thing that happens there. Well, if the basketball is flat, it's hanging up, just hanging from the ceiling, but it's not touching the table.
Right.
Right? There's nothing happening. If you look up pictures of it, it'll make a lot more sense. There's
you
a basketball,
a great,
there's a ceiling. No, it's
you
very
just
confusing.
A great
I am confused and I know what it looks like. But if in your mind, if you see a basketball, a ceiling, and a table, think of me.
Ards. All right. So moving on. And again, just mentioning, if you're studying for your CCRN, you're going to be quizzed on this stuff. It will be on that little quiz that you're going
to
be taking.
We're pulling this out of the Barron's book, and there's a big star next to it. It
says, this test always includes several questions on this topic. Study accordingly.
Yep.
Literally
so
what it says.
Definitely something to know with the dead space. You got the shunt, and you got ARDS.
Oh,
so.
Man. Shunt and ARDS, man.
Yep.
All right. So let's move on to some criteria for ARDS here.
Nice.
Yeah, so there's actually some very specific ones, and some where you have to kind of differentiate between, first off, what's causing this pulmonary edema, which is pretty cool. You know, if someone has a really weak heart and they have, you know, a 15% EF and they have all this, you know, edema in their lungs, like, wait a minute, this isn't necessarily ARDS. This isn't, you know, this isn't a infection that's causing this increased, you know, permeability or a trauma that's happening. That's actually one of the criteria to like say if this is ARDS versus, you know, it's a non-cardiogenic pulmonary edema. And so that's kind of one of the first ones. And then with that, you'll have bilateral infiltrates on your chest x-ray and your CT scans that are just going to look terrible.
Yep.
Right. So then, as we've been mentioning as well, the hypoxemia is refractory. No matter how much FiO2, whether you're on 60, 100%, you're still not going to be able to somehow get a adequate PaO2. They're going to be 30, 40, you know, and you're just like, oh, you know, okay, well, let's add some peep on.
And why is it refractory? Because the basketball's not touching the kitchen table.
Right.
I'm coming back to that. I'm doubling down. You know, you bet a million. You bet $1 million on the Browns to win. You lose. What do? You bet again. Right. You bet again. So it's the flat basketball. You can pump all the air into the basketball, but if the basketball is not touching the kitchen table, there's no transfer of O2 or anything going on.
Right.
Refractory.
So, and then this also kind of leads into PF ratios. And everyone likes coming in, oh, yeah, their PF ratio is 100. Good thing we have them prone.
What is a PF? I don't even look at PF ratios. I just look at tidal volumes.
That's right. All you care about is tidal volumes.
I just look at tidal volumes. Okay. What is the PF ratio?
Dude, so a PF ratio is, as it says, it's a ratio between two levels that we can measure. Okay, it's a difference between a PaO2, or the, you know, the dissolved oxygen in your blood.
Nice.
You're talking about 80 to 100, right? Versus our FiO2 divided by our FiO2.
Nice.
Okay, which, you know, can be all the way up to 100.
Right.
So say, I mean, for example, let's just say that someone's on 100% FiO2.
Okay.
Right? And our PaO2 is 60.
Nice.
So, you know, just, you know, quick, you know, math with that, your PF ratio is 60.
Right.
And you're just like, shoot, because less than 200 ratio, we should be proning them.
Yep.
This is ARDS that we're dealing with.
And that's what they'll tell you is the less than 200. Some places say less than 150.
Right.
For our sake, we'll say less than 200.
Yeah.
I think the Laura Gasparis von Frolio, I think she used 150. Other people say different things, but
right.
Barron says 200. We'll stick with 200 as your number for proning.
So. Yeah. Yeah, PF ratios. So that's kind of, you know, that you can always calculate them. It doesn't always come out on your ABG, but you can be like, oh, yeah, well, I know what their PF ratio is because, you know, the PaO2 is this, FiO2 is that. You show it to the respiratory therapist and they're like, you shouldn't know this. Go, go sit your little pretty, you know,
pretty
ICU.
Nurse himself. Tim. Yeah, Tim. Don't worry your pretty little nursing head about it. Like, thanks, Tim. but it makes sense because you see people who don't really need to be vented, people who don't need to be on the vent, maybe like a drug overdose who we vented for like airway protection. You go pull a gas, their PF ratio is like 350.
Right.
You know, it was like, exactly. We're giving too much oxygen. They don't need it. They don't have a lung problem. We're just pounding them full of air because they're vented.
You can't go lower than 40%.
Right, so. Exactly. Their PF ratio will literally be like 280. You're like, wow, they're doing great. Right. You know, so you'll with the sick people, that's where you'll see these lower numbers. So
just wrapping up the concept of ARDS here. Okay, we've talked about, you know, different causes, some criteria. Just get this in your mind. Alveolar edema leading to alveolar collapse, leading to refractory hypoxemia.
Right, exactly.
And that's the progression right there.
That is it. It's if you can think of anything that leads to alveolar edema, basically, you can go down that other pathway of damage to type 2 alveolar cells, and the decreased surfactant is your other one. And that's definitely part of the tree. An inflammatory response will either lead to alveolar edema or damage to the type 2 cells, decreased surfactant.
Right.
There's a couple other, there's like little tiny pathways you can look at, but if you just have those in your head, you'll be okay.
Yeah. Well, you think when someone says like, oh, we got an ARDS patient, you're like, man, their lungs are probably just full of fluid and they can't oxygenate.
alveolar collapse. So how do we treat alveolar collapse? So now we know, okay, this person has some collapsed alveoli. The basketball is flat. How do I pump up the basketball?
Intubate, mechanical ventilate.
Nice.
That's what you're going to need, honestly. When someone's needing this much support, they're going to have to be mechanically ventilated.
Yep.
And then at that point,
and then there, but and that's this is the interesting about this is there's a specific ventilation strategy, and they talk about, you know, there's one sentence where we read the question was, are there any drugs available to treat ARDS? I'm just going to read straight from the book, Duke's book here. Despite multiple high-quality clinical trials, no definitive effective drug therapy has been identified that improves survival of ARDS. So no definitive. They mentioned nitrous oxide, corticosteroids, surfactant, N-acetylcysteine, beta agonist statins, inhaled prostaglandin. I mean, all kinds of stuff. Your activated protein C, other agents have been trialed without definitive benefit. The only therapies that definitively improve survival in ARDS are ventilation strategies, low tidal volumes with PEEP, and early proning in patients with moderate to severe ARDS.
Oh, man. And we saw that.
Yep.
You know, with COVID, dude. And we mentioned this several times on the podcast already where the intensivists will walk in and, you know, we're not even at 100% yet. And it was like, we're proning them. We know, you know, we already know this is the direction we're going and stuff. We're doing early proning, you know, to hopefully prevent those very low PaO2s.
Yep. And as providers, we saw it in COVID just month after month of like, oh, this drug may do it. This drug may do it.
Got the there's like all the
complex hydrochloroquine. Everybody's walking around with QT intervals of 4,000, and everybody's still dying of COVID. You know, didn't do anything. And there's every single drug, it would like kind of work, but then it didn't work. And there's nothing definitive, but we do know that works at this point, at the time of this recording.
Very high dose Decatron.
Yeah, for real.
That was kind of a thing that was going around.
That was a thing specifically with COVID, but those ventilation strategies and proning.
Dude, what's so interesting is that it's not medication that's fixing them. Maybe, you know, medication's going to help treat the cause. Like, what if it was an infection that's leading to this? Then that can help, you know, start to clear it up.
Right.
But it comes down to, like, positioning of exactly how it is, how we're ventilating them. Not necessarily a medication that we're just giving them. It's very interesting.
Totally.
So, yeah. So, let's repeat that again. So, we're talking low tidal volume. So, we're, like, 3 to 4 or like mLs per kg type.
Yeah,
low tidal volumes.
Even you might see 5 to 6 in some places, but just know that they're low.
Okay,
you don't need to know that it's necessarily. Low. Like, well, this is 3.25 ml per kilo per the. No, you just need to know we're doing low tidal volumes. Why are we doing low tidal volumes? Tell them why. Are
well, we doing- okay, so for one reason, we have all this extra PEEP that we're using, and then also trying. I don't know what
that's
you're
it,
going
that's
for.
That's the PEEP. Yeah, the PEEP. Yeah,
but then also with all that extra PEEP, we need to be preventing both barotrauma and volutrauma.
Nice.
So all that, you know, PEEP that we're throwing in there, then we can't take a big breath, you know, or give them all that extra, you know, tidal volume.
Totally.
We really have to back it down to prevent those more injuries to the lung.
Right. Like exactly. And let's even skip over the tidal volume for a second. Let's just like, so we have an empty basketball. How are we going to fill the basketball up? I know. I stopped. A pump and the needle. No. How do you fill it up? We fill it with PEEP. PEEP is alveolar recruitment.
Like
it
that.
Fills up the basketball, and now the basketball is touching the table, and again we have perfusion, diffusion, the whole thing. Okay? So
nice.
Exactly. So the PEEP fixes it. Well, now we're pounding this person
So the PEEP's fixing it. Wait, how is it fixing it? You're saying it's helping keep the alveoli open?
Open like and recruited, right? Mm-hmm. So the basketball's collapsed.
We give the
PEEP. It opens the basketball. The basketball's touching your kitchen table. Now we have oxygen passing over. The ARDS is cured, except we're giving them all this PEEP. We're going to blow a lung. So what do we do to compensate?
Decrease tidal volume.
Low tidal volumes, exactly.
Right.
And so as far as I've seen, and I would appreciate an email if someone else knows differently than me. The research I've done. I'm talking.
We're here at work.
To you, Tim. But the low tidal volumes doesn't fix anything. It's kind of a compensatory strategy for the PEEP that we're increasing.
Yeah. So, and even with those low tidal volumes, you'll hear them say like, you know, we're allowing a permissive hypercapnia, even though we're not getting those huge oxygen exchanges and, you know,
totally.
To that CO2, that it's okay. We'll allow it to get up, maybe just a slight touch of acidosis and stuff, and that's okay.
Yeah, and we could do a whole podcast on that, but the general idea that, again, I've seen this in multiple books, is when people are sick, you're not shooting for perfect numbers. It's not like I need to have this guy at 100% oxygen. You don't even want them at 100% oxygen. Like, they'll talk about permissive hypercapnia, but they'll talk about like, oh, let's just shoot for 92.
Right.
Like, it's actually not even ideal for your lungs to be just pounding full 100% oxygen when you have all these other problems going on. So just keeping that in mind too. Like, well, my patient's not setting 100%, and that's probably a good thing.
Right.
Like, we're shooting for 95 to get all this prone positioning and paralyzing and PEEP and tidal volume. Like, is O2 sat is not necessarily the main thing we're shooting for here. So.
You're so wise.
Cool. Oh, whatever.
That was very concise. I love
Arrgh.
That. All right. So, Ben, talk us through this also. So, with increased PEEP, and we're talking like, you know, high amounts of PEEP, what are some issues that we can run into with having high PEEP?
Oh, yeah. So, no, you were the one who said this. You popped this up.
The barotrauma.
The barotrauma. Well, yeah, but no, but tell me, talk about that other one. You literally just said it. You said like, oh, this is like a big deal. And I was like, like, wow,
you're
that totally makes sense. Oh, yeah.
Okay. So, very interesting side note that's to be mentioned directly in this book that maybe we could go over, but when you see it in practice, you'll remember it.
Well, what happened? Okay, so let's say you're like, let's say you're flipping somebody over. So they need to be prone. You're flipping them over.
And you're already on 15 a peep. You're already on low tidal volumes, 100% of how to.
Let's say you're doing oral cares, or you're literally washing their face and the vent pops off for a second. That's no big deal. What do you just pop it right back on?
Yeah, and they'll come back up. I mean, you're on such high peeps.
You're good. It'll pop back up.
Absolutely not.
False. Right.
Totally false. So this is literally what else. This is. I'm just going to read this verbatim here. Disconnection of the ventilatory circuit and PEEP will result in alveolar de-recruitment and hypoxemia that may not be readily corrected. Because you have that PEEP that whole time going in, you know, high pressure system in that ventilation tubing. Then all of a sudden it's disconnected. It goes all the way down to zero.
And right? It doesn't necessarily pop back up.
Exactly. Because it's been working to recruit all those alveoli, but they'll immediately be de-recruited.
So yeah. And so you can think about it like, oh man, it's a basketball. Think about the basketball, but the basketball isn't easily pumped up. You don't just pump it up and then let a little air out and pump it back up. Once you have it open, you better keep it open, man.
Yeah.
Keep those basketballs open.
Yeah. So this is some, especially just to be cognizant of, like someone was like, oh, I'll just like, you know, get this, you know, condensation
out of the clear the condensation. Oh, this condensation drives me nuts. Pop
it, whatever. Yep. It's fine.
Leave it.
But you know, if they're like, you know, not in a acute ARDS case, you know, you're probably fine. But in these people that are so, so sick, you're going to pay for it. It'll take a long time. And a lot of you just standing there being like, please come back up. Please come back up. Please come back up.
For real. So yeah. Keep them hooked. Keep that tube hooked, man.
So then also with that, all that increase in pressure, we kind of start actually, I don't know if I'm saying it right, but tamponading the heart, right?
Yep.
With all the
increased
pressure.
Decreased cardiac output.
So decreased cardiac output because of decreased venous return.
Right, right, exactly. Because all that pressure in there, right? Just pumping all this pressure into their chest, decreased venous return, decreased cardiac output.
Dude, and you'll see that. As soon as that PEEP goes up, your pressure goes from like 120s to 90s. You're like, all right, where's the Levo?
Decreased venous return, decreased cardiac output. Starling's Law.
Starling. That's Starling.
Arrgh.
Arrgh.
So yeah, I think that really brings it all around together.
Right.
So definitely things to keep in mind, at least when you're proning these people or taking care of them. There's definitely some issues you may have with the decreased cardiac output. You may have hypotension. You may have the barotrauma. You may have definitely losing that PEEP if they disconnect, but just things to be aware of at least.
Right.
Yeah. And maybe not freaking out if their pressure goes down a little bit. Yeah,
right. Like
giving them all this PEEP, their pressure probably should go down a little bit.
Right. You know it's working.
So yeah, maybe you know you're doing something and not being aware of it and maybe not freaking out necessarily, but just being aware of it. And maybe they do need another gas or maybe they do need more labs or maybe the PEEP is kind of doing its thing.
Right. So. Absolutely. And then also being vigilant of just monitoring for like pneumothorax, subcutaneous and all that kind of stuff.
We
keep ahead of the game.
Cause there is a whole lot of things you can do when you do this. There's a very long list. I'd totally recommend looking it up for all the problems you can cause by giving them this PEEP. It's like, you don't give them the PEEP, they die. Then you do give them the PEEP and we can damage them in other ways.
Right.
So just being cognizant of that.
Yeah. Dude, and the mortality rate with ARDS and everything is, you know, especially with, you know, COVID, and we talk about when they're on like, you know, two pressors, on four pressors, they're on CRRT now. It's difficult to walk away from.
Definitely.
So hopefully with, you know, learning this, learning some of the early signs of it and understanding the treatments, you know, maybe we can just be a part of, you know, providing better patient care.
Absolutely. Absolutely. So
Well, feel free to hit us up in the email at twomalenurses@gmail.com. And we also have twomalenurses _podcast on the Instagram. If you want to hit us up that way, and we post, you know, post there related to the content that we're presenting here. And yeah, if you guys have any other questions, hit us up.
Or totally hit us up. Because ARDS is like a cool one to me. And
such
so
a good one.
There was something high yield. Yeah, people are talking about like, oh, that's a high yield concept. ARDS is definitely one worth knowing. And if you guys want us to talk about it again, talk about more of this stuff or dive in deeper, we'd love to. So just hit us up.
All right. We'll join you guys for the next one next week, next Friday.
Yeah.
Two Male Nurses expressly disclaims any liability in association with this podcast.